Good morning, and welcome to KTLO's regular Sunday morning worship service from the First United Methodist Church in Mountain Home.
Joyful noise, how wonderful that is, and unclouded day, right? I think is what that one was. Great old gospel song, so absolutely beautiful. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, that sounds great. Welcome to First United Methodist Church in Mountain Home, Arkansas. We're glad you've come to join us for worship today. Our mission statement here at First United Methodist Church is making life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. And we firmly believe this, and we want you to feel that and to know that today. If you're a visitor here for the first time, we're glad you're with us. Please be sure to fill out the register there that is in the pew, the little red folder. Or if you're not a visitor, if you're here, you've been here for 40 years, fill one of those out too. We'd appreciate it. So anyway, I'm Brother Keith, the pastor here at First United Methodist Church, and it's my honor and privilege to serve along with the wonderful staff and volunteers here. Our announcements, as you look through them, you'll see there's an update on the working on the new bus fund. The trustees had voted to go ahead and look at buying a brand new bus, as in like a people mover. It's got the middle aisle kind of thing going on. And so there's information on that, and we're seeking to raise funds for that. Obviously, it's a lot more expensive than a van. So be in prayer with us over that as we seek to raise funds to get that done. And we appreciate all of those who have given already. Also, you notice on here there is a notification of a birthday celebration coming up pretty soon for somebody that's turning 40. And so be sure to note that in your bulletin. Ash Wednesday will be here before you know it, February the 26th. We're excited about that. We had a great turnout for that service last year. It's at 6:30 here in the sanctuary. It's a very meaningful service, a powerful way to begin your Lent season. So please come join us that night. If you would like to read to the little ones in Head Start, they are asking for help with that. If you need more information, call the church office, or you can even email me or anybody on staff, and we can get you in touch with Miss Jean that's over at Head Start, who heads that. She gets so excited over those that are signing up. And we are calling all singers right now to come and serve in the choir for the upcoming of, let's see here, I'm going to say this right, Come Walk With Me. So coming into the Lent and Easter season during Holy Week, so please be sure to check that out as well. The beautiful altar flowers today are presented by Betty Fulton in loving memory of Bill Fulton, and they are beautiful. And today's television broadcast is sponsored by Kirby and Family Funeral and Cremation Services, and we appreciate that. Other announcements and things that are going on in the life of the church, we had a great Valentine's banquet. I meant to mention that this morning, and a big crowd. We ate a lot. It was really good, and I think the youth raised something like $1,400 with it, so that's great. Yeah, woohoo. In combination with what you've done for the youth in the past month, you have given almost $10,500 to that program through your gifts, and we greatly appreciate you. Yes, that's something to applaud, for sure. So it will go to do some great things with mission and the youth and youth events and camps, activities. So that's fantastic. Also, you notice in your bulletin, there is a little handout, and you will need that and reference it later when we get into the sermon. And this was the Renew group is what we'll be doing with the church and working to continue to bring renewal to First United Methodist Church. And it's a very positive group, and I think that you can read that on your own about that. So we appreciate everyone that's helped with this. Yes? Oh. Thank you, Bernice. Let me tell folks, if anybody's listening at home and they're away today, Thursday Morning Joy will start a Bible study on angels February 27th. Come check them out on Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock. 9:30. I was thinking it was 9:30, but I didn't know if maybe that was fellowship time. that's just when I show up and look for food. This is 9 o'clock. Hey, you know, a man's got to eat. So anyway, 9:30 on February 27th, they start their study on the angels, Thursday Morning Joy. If you are looking for a great Bible study, a women's Bible study, they have a great time and they learn a lot, and it's just a great group of ladies. So you would really enjoy it if you came out to it. So, all right. Thank you for saying that, because we definitely want that announced. So, all right, this time, let's see, I think in our schedule we have Kathy Bauer of giving the mission report.
Good morning. I come from the mission board, and I want to offer to share with you some opportunities that the mission board has, and going right along with our mission statement of making life better and us better at life through Jesus, the mission board has some opportunities to help us do that. One is the one that I'm involved in. I'm one of the coordinators for the backpack program, and we are in desperate need of muscles. We need men that will help us to pick up food and at Town and Country or at the food bank, and then bring it back to the backpack room and help unload it. And we aren't very strong, and so we could use some men to do that. It only takes an hour or two, maybe once or twice a month. And so if you would be interested in helping with that, if you'd give your name to the church office or to Linda or me, we'd really appreciate it. And you can always say no, you could try it out and come for once and try and see if that's something you'd like to do. We also need men on the delivery teams that deliver the food to the schools. And again, that's just a Wednesday morning once a month for about 2 hours. So we would really appreciate any help in those areas. We also are looking for people to replace ourselves. Linda and Joe and I have coordinated the backpack program for about the last 4 years, and we have some family obligations that are kind of taking us away from that. So we're looking for anybody that would be willing to help. It's a team effort. It doesn't have to take a huge amount of time, but it certainly can make your life better and help at making us better at life. I have to testify that this has been a wonderful experience for me, certainly made my life better and helped me to do better, I think, at life. On Wednesday mornings when we all meet, I think everybody would say that it's just such a wonderful feeling to help others and get to know other people. If you're a new member, it's a great way to get involved and get to meet people. Another ministry of First United Methodist Church is the Wesley Kitchen, and they feed 30 to 50 people every Thursday night, and again, could use some help with cooking and with serving the food. So we would love to have some extra volunteers with that. Still another area would be the blessing boxes. And you might not have even noticed those, but they have about 6 boxes that are around Mountain Home. They're on a pole, and it's like a small cabinet with food in it that anyone can take. And so they're looking for just single-serving pop-top cans of food, non-perishable food items. And if you just put them in the box, then they'll be available for people to take out. The one that I know of is on Coley and Cardinal. They're just past the post office. And they can certainly always use food. I'd like to invite you all to come to the volunteer appreciation tea that the backpack is doing on March 11th at 8:30. Right after our pack, we'll be having a tea to thank our volunteers. We'd like anyone to come. You could find out more about backpack and see if it might be for you. That's in the backpack room, which is just kind of kitty corner across the parking lot. And we'd love to have you. I really encourage you all to get involved in the mission work. It really is a way of serving and making life better through Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate that. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's have a word of prayer. God, we are thankful for this beautiful morning we've been blessed with. May this hour be for you, for your glory. May we be filled up by your Spirit in this time so that we are ready to serve this week. Anoint us in this moment. Pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Let us turn to our hymnal, page 881, and recite together the Apostles' Creed, traditional version. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hears us when we talk to God. God's presence is in this place, and God's love for us is available to us. Would you bow your heads with me and let us have a moment of silent prayer as we move into our time of prayer together? Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning, acknowledging our brokenness and our need for you, acknowledging that we have tried to fix so many things this week, and we've tried to do it without you. Lord, help us. Help us that in life that we go to you first when we meet our greatest struggles, that we seek you for guidance and for direction, that we are faithful to lean upon you in these times in our life. God, you know our burdens, you know our struggles, you know our weaknesses, and you know our strengths, you know our joys, you know the high moments in our life as well as the low moments. You know us so well. And we pray that we will seek to know you. We will follow your will and to live into your love and show this love to others. God, we pray for the world this day. We pray for your peace. We pray that those that are warring might find solitude in the sense of finding a way for peace and hope. God, we ask for prayers to be upon our own nation. God, may your blessings be upon our leaders. May your wisdom be followed. And Lord, we pray for our own community. We thank you for Mountain Home area and all around in the region here and the many wonderful people who live here. And we pray that we as your church might be aware of those that are in need and are willing to reach out and to make the difference in their lives. Oh God, we remember the prayer that you taught us in the Lord's Prayer as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Generosity and giving to First United Methodist Church and the ministry here. These gifts go a long way and make the difference. We thank you for keeping us in the green for already into the first part of the year, beginning in almost about to wrap up February before it's over. So thank you for doing that. And feel optimistic about this year. So let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. God, we are thankful. We are thankful for the many gifts that we receive in this moment. Lord, we are thankful that you can take these gifts and use them, and you take them and turn them into changing lives and reaching out and touching so many. Lord, we just pray that you pour out your very blessing upon these gifts and upon the giver. And we pray that as each one gives that realize the difference they make. We ask this now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Every day they pass me by, and I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord? People need the Lord.
Our reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Debbie. I want to tell you, that music this morning, my goodness. If I was uptight before I got in here, and I wasn't, I would be the most relaxed, spirit-filled, it lifts the burdens, you know? It really does, and that's what worship is to be about, is to not only to come in and to praise God, but to be in the moment to let your hair down. Well, if you have any. But just be in the presence of God, and it's been beautiful this morning, and I thank God for it. We are spoiled rotten here at First Methodist Church because of the talents that we have in our musicians, our vocalists, the list goes on, and many churches don't have this kind of depth, so we are very thankful. All right, I'll quit gushing and we'll go on now. So, would you bow your heads with me? Let's have a word of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for your word. Lord, it stirs our souls and it makes us a little uncomfortable today. But that's okay. We need to be challenged today, God. Lord, may the words that I speak and the meditations of our hearts collectively be acceptable in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, when Paul is writing this letter and we hear this and he is speaking to the Corinthian church, we're like, well, Paul, just go ahead and really tell us what you really think, right? It's a very powerful text, and it's really been used sometimes in ways to harm others sometimes, as strong as the words are, with, milk and solid food, and, I've heard the fire and brimstone version of this for sure, coming out of my own father's mouth. And these texts can be very powerful and very hard to swallow. But it's a very important one for us to look at today, because one is, it lets us realize from the very get-go that the early church had its struggles. The early church faced its challenges. I mean, these guys hadn't even been around very long, and they're having a problem with getting it right for sure. And I get tickled at people that say, oh, we need to reclaim the early church days. I'm saying, you haven't read the book of Corinthians, have you? Either one of them. And there's some things in there this is real life, folks. This is the thing where we sit there and we sometimes will sanitize the text and act like that everything was just perfect. And the truth was, reading this text, it was not perfect. Because Jesus died for a messy world and rose again for Christians that sometimes don't get it right. And sometimes we make mistakes. And the church of Corinth was no different because they had lost their focus. They had lost their direction. And we see that because all of a sudden we see this back and forth thing that's been going on. And all throughout civilization, you know, we quarrel and we're bitter to one another. And you know what? We haven't figured that one out yet, have we? We still do that. We still battle one another. And the bad thing is, this is not the world that we're talking about. This is the church. We are but broken vessels, fragile, but God loves us. And Paul is correcting them and giving them a reset moment. It's kind of like whenever your favorite device starts glitching out and having problems, the favorite thing to do is to turn it off and turn it back on again, right? To hit the reset button. Wouldn't it be nice if you could do that in life sometimes? If things are just kind of locked up in your career, reset. Start with your same salary, if not more, right? If the relationship's not going well, reset. Start all over again. Bills are stacking up, reset. Yeah, well, you can do that one, but they tend to find you, just so you know. Paul is bringing them to this point of renewal and reset that they need. Even though here we are in the early church trying to get it right and do it right from the get-go, but yet, the frailty of humanity has found its way in. We still are working at this as churches. As you read the insert that is there in your bulletin, you realize that this is something that is not uncommon among mainline denominations. Whoever keeps their attendance and rolls can tell you that we have seen a change over the years. And at least 10 years ago, the average United Methodist was a 57-year-old white woman. And that would make her now 67, right? And so this kind of tells you the very demographics of our church, which is a beautiful age in life, and I look forward to that age. But when we look at our demographics and where we are and our congregations as a whole, we see that our population is getting older. We do. We realize this. And it was an annual conference one year. We were sitting there and somebody leans over to me, and I can't even remember who it was, and he said, "I see a sea of gray," in referencing the church. Of course, I can appreciate the gray these days. And I can appreciate, as I've already alluded to, those who actually have hair that turns gray. I promise I don't have a problem with that. We have seen these changes. We have noticed these changes. And this church a couple years ago saw this. And through leadership of the pastor I was honored to follow, and Brother Tom, they started this discussion about renewal, the reset, to find a strategic plan and find a way to serve God faithfully and to reach out to the demographic of people. Let's rephrase that, to those that are not at the table anymore like they used to be. You know, when you have a dining room table and you are set up usually at a family dinner, everybody has their place, right? I always sit next to my niece at Thanksgiving. Katie is where I sit. She's one of my favorite redheads in life, and I had the honor of doing her wedding, and so I sit right next to her. That's where I sit, and if she wasn't there, I would notice it, because the table would all of a sudden be smaller to me and to be empty, right? Well, over time, our table has become more vacant of certain ages of people and certain kinds of people. They're no longer as with us as they should be, or they need to be. And so this church began the conversation about who's not at the table anymore like they used to be. And for many churches, it is that younger population. Now, I will tell you and be the first to tell you and admit you are talking about taking on an almost impossible endeavor. To reach out to the younger generation, it is not easy. It is difficult. Not that it's bad people in any regards. They are wonderful people. But I want to tell you, they have a very keen sense when it comes to smelling people that are fakers. They can spot a hypocrite from a mile away. I learned that when I was a youth pastor for a little while and realized that these kids, it's better to be a lame youth pastor than to be one that's fake. Because they can love you where you are. It's hard. It's not easy. But this is where we are supposed to put our energy and our attention at. Because these folks are missing from our church. It's not that our folks that are mature in life aren't important. Yes, they are. They're just as important as our young folks. But just as much, we need to realize that if somebody is not at the table, we need to be going to get them and bring them to the table to be in this time and experience with us. Paul is getting on to the Corinthian church, or the church at Corinth, and he's saying, guys, gals, you have lost your focus. You have forgotten about what it is you are called to do. And that is to love God, to worship God, and to share God with others in all people. And it's not always easy work. Sometimes it's really hard. There is a purpose, is what Paul says. There is a purpose that we meet for. And we've got to be careful because we can easily be distracted. I know many times when it comes to renewal, we think that the answer to renewal is simply this: bring in a new pastor and the church will be renewed. I want to tell you something. Paul is addressing this right now. He's going, you need to quit that game. You need to quit it. Because you lose the focus that, truthfully, real renewal in a church and real excitement within a church comes within the laity. The real growth that I've seen in the churches that I have been able to pastor at have come from the laity of people getting excited and being willing to share the mission and the passion of the church and going out and saying, you've got to come be part of this. I love my church. I love my church family. Preacher, he's okay. So come, be part. This is the renewal that lasts. If you base your renewal upon one leader, what happens when that one leader is gone? You see, Paul is chastising the early church and saying, guys, you have put your eggs in the basket of these two ministers. And he is included in that. He has included himself in that. And he's saying, it's not us. It's about God. And that is what does it. I tell you, when I had served in the church at Bradley, Arkansas at 21 years of age, and it was a beautiful parsonage of, and it wouldn't be considered as pretty now because it had all of the wonderful things that the early 1980s homes had in them. And I remember as a kid, I had visited that house, and the church had built it in the 80s, and their idea behind it was, they told me this when I was their pastor. They said, we thought that if we built a good parsonage, it would get us a good preacher, and if we got a good preacher, we would be in good shape. That's how it works. But unfortunately, it didn't, because by telling you that they had a student pastor, it told you that they no longer were a full-time church, and they had gone from well over 100 to about 30 when I got there. So the beautiful parsonage had a 21-year-old living in it with over 2,000 square feet, 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, and didn't know what to do with it all. I couldn't afford that house. That was the crazy thing about it. Someone said, well, it's a free house. I said, yeah, but I can't pay the utilities. But that's not how it works. This is a very sober reminder to us that where it really is within the laity and the leadership of the church as a whole. We seek renewal. We seek focus. We seek direction. We look around and we say, who do we need to go after? Who is in the community? And when we look at these statistics and the demographics, we see that there is a lot of people that need God. And just so you know, 40% of this county say they go to church regularly. 40%. What does that leave? 60% that don't. And of that 40%, at least 20% has got to be lying, right? I'm kidding. But there is a real need. And friends, it's urgent. We need to be part of this. We need to be on fire for it. Just as Paul is telling us, we have got to get our act together and to remember that this is about God and it's about sacrifice and giving up what we consider our comfort zone sometimes. It's not about us individually, but the church collectively and the mission of the church. That's what it's about. When I was serving in Ozark, we were having this discussion about how to reach young people and bring them in. It's a difficult discussion and it's hard. And someone said, well, they left us. And I looked at them and I didn't mean to offend, but I think I did, and I said, no, we left them. Because when they left us, we acted like we didn't care. Well, fine, you go ahead and leave. You'll come back when you get older and mature. We should care. We should care about all ages. Whether you are 2 or 102, we should care. And we should be reaching out and showing God's love to all of these folks. Ultimately, what this is about is that when we are working and we are planting the church and we are setting down the direction of the church, we are not planting for immediate here and now. In this day and age of immediate gratification, we've got to realize that we plant for the long haul. Just what Paul was saying about what was going on. As a pastor, there have been many times where I have worked hard in an area and I have not been able to stay around and reap the results of that. And you know what? That's okay. It really is okay because it's not about me reaping results. It's about God getting results. And for us to realize that we are planting for the harvest down the road and we take our time at doing it right, and being genuine about it. And the seeds that we plant, we continue to do so every day. And when we get discouraged because something doesn't come up like we expect for it to, or something doesn't happen like we would want it to, we realize that tomorrow is another day and we try again. Friends, I would rather fail at trying than not to try at all. Because that's really not a failure. You can learn a lot of good lessons that way too. Paul warns us today not to lose our focus. Paul warns us today to seek to follow God's direction, God's will, and God's will is that all might know Him. And for us to purposely go out and after those who aren't here. And especially when we look and we see a large population that's missing, let our hearts be burdened to go for them. Not to go for them to say, we have a better way, but yet to go for them to say, we love you and God loves you and we want you. And we need you. Friends, let's stay on point. Let's stay on focus. Let's continue in this renewal together. Now, next Sunday we'll begin with small snippets each Sunday for the next 3 weeks. Now don't worry, I know you're Methodist and I am too. We'll get you out here in an hour. And we'll have small snapshots of what's going on with the Renew movement. We have three areas we'll focus on, from mission and vision to worship experience to structure. And even that'll be interesting, I promise. These areas that we're working on to see the church renewed and rebuilt and stronger than ever before. So look for that and join with me in prayer over that as well. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that we will be willing to take on the challenge, willing to put ourselves aside so that your will be done, willing to go out and to make the sacrifices to go and to retrieve these folks that aren't with us, not because we're better, but because we love them, and we need them, and we want them. So God, keep us on task as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring a friend with you to church next Sunday to come and to be part of this experience and tell them that come and go with me. You'll be amazed. So let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. God, as we prepare to leave from this place, we go out of here to serve you. We go out of here to be on focus and on point for you and for your ministry, keeping the main thing, in our ministry of loving you and loving others. Bless us now as we depart in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our regular Sunday morning worship service from the First United Methodist Church in Mountain Home. Join us again next week at this same time.
From the Baxter Regional Medical Center studio, this is KTLO FM 97.9 in Mountain Home on Suddenlink Channel 5 and around the world on KTLO.com.